The Burt Show.
So Mo has been taking inventory of his health, especially lately here. Had a bout with gout. And you're starting to take a look at everything you're eating now also?
Yeah. They say God works in mysterious ways. And, you know, I saw something once that said when you pray and you ask for patience, God does not deliver you patience. He puts you in a situation where you have to use your patience. Uh-huh. And I've learned that this is true. Because when I got back from the vacation, it was a late night. I had a flight that got me in really late. And I'm on my way home. And I was just thinking, just reflecting on everything, having my daily conversation with God. And I was like, you know, I need some help with one, dealing with my stress. I want to stop stressing over things. And two, with ordering out. Like, that's my weakness. When I'm just tired, when I'm in a situation that I'm in, it's just convenient. And I just do it. And I feel like it's probably a part of my high blood pressure, so on and so forth. So I told God, I'm going to stop. But after tonight, it's late.
See, Daddy did give you patience.
Right?
You're not doing it right now.
I'm not in a rush. Patience. Working on my patience. So because it's so late, it's like one or two things open. So I order Chinese food. And I don't know if anybody has ever experienced this on DoorDash. This is my first time experiencing anything like this. So I get home. I order the food. And it tells me the food is going to be there. Let's say it's 10 o'clock at this point. And I'm looking at it. And so 10:15 comes. 10:30 comes.
What's the worst?
10:45. Right. And I don't have any updates. Like, I'm cool if it's saying, we're sorry, it's taking a while. Mm-hmm. It's a little delayed. But it's not updating. It's still telling me that it's going to be there at 10 o'clock. So I go and I do the little get help thing. Right. And when you go to get help, it doesn't really give you a lot of options. No. It pretty much tells you the kind of help that you're going
to
get.
And it's impossible to speak to a person.
Absolutely impossible, which I've discovered. So I'm like, it's like, do you need help? I'm like, yes. What you need help with? Where's the food?
the thing that I ordered. Yeah, you know, where is it?
The whole reason we're interacting right now. And it tells me, oh, sorry for the delay. Your food, if it's 10:45 in this moment, it says your food will be there at 10:46. So I'm like, come on.
On the way.
Yeah, right. So then I'm like, all right, cool. So then I wait like another 10 minutes. So now it's like 10:56. I do the same exact thing. And it tells me, oh, sorry for the delay. Your food will be there at 10:57.
Are you kidding?
I'm like,
and you ordered it at what time again?
This was supposed to be there at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
So we about 50-something minutes in now, right, to the delay. So I'm like, all right, come on, man. So obviously this is not helping me. It's just going to keep telling me it'll be there any minute, which I would have appreciated if it just said that and stopped lying to me, right? So I'm like, cool. So then it tells me you may have to contact the person that you ordered from. So I call the guy, and he's... He's like, hello? I'm like, hey, man, I made this order. I don't know where the driver is. I don't know what's going on. And he tells me, you know, what's your address? What's the order? I tell him. And he goes, yeah. Like, he doesn't even let me finish. Like, Mark, he's like, yeah. It's on the way.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, okay. All right, cool. Thank you. So then when I get off the phone, I don't know how this happened. Somehow, some way, I get off the phone with him, and I look at my phone. The guy rung the doorbell, like, in that time. And I missed it. Somehow, it didn't register on my phone. I don't know. Like, I have no idea how it happened. But I can see that I have a missed call. But it didn't, like, give me the option to answer it or to click over. So I'm like, okay, I somehow missed it. So then I call this guy back. It couldn't have been 60 seconds. It had to be about 30, 45 seconds later. And he's not answering the phone. I call him again. He's not answering the phone.
He's enjoying your Kung Pao chicken.
Oh, you better believe it. And that's why I'm steaming. Because I'm like, I wanted the good Chinese food, too. I was ready to go down. And then he texts me. Now, he doesn't answer my call, but he texts me. And he says, hey, man, I rung your doorbell. So I'm like, I'm aware. You know, I missed it. My apologies. That was like 30 seconds ago. What'd you do with the food?
Could you even understand what he was saying with all that food in his mouth?
Only because he was texting. So he texts me back. And he's like, yeah, I left it at the door.
Whose door?
That's what I said. It's not mine, right? And then he's like, I said, which door? He said, the door that the directions say to drop it off. So now I got to run to the other side of the building because technically that's the door that he couldn't get in to bring the food up. It's not there, of course, right? Like, I put everything, I run over there, it's not there. So I text him back. Hey, man, I don't know which door you're talking about, but the food is not there. Well, I don't know. That's what told me to do. Sorry. So I'm like, okay, so can you at least cancel the order so that I can place another one? At this point, working on my patience, not going to get stressed out about it. No problem, right? He doesn't respond. So then I go on the DoorDash and say, I'm trying to make a new order because my old order didn't get here. So can you please? They're like, we can't cancel the order. You have to contact the driver.
Are you kidding?
Asshole, man.
So then they're like, I said, I can't contact the driver. He's not answering or texting me back. They say, contact the merchant. So I contact the merchant. He said, yeah. Contact the driver.
Damn.
So then like 20 minutes later, The driver finally texts me back. The whole time, I can't place a new order because he has not canceled out the first order.
Now it's like 11:20?
It got to be like, yeah, it's like 11:30, 11:40, something like that this time. And then I hit the driver, and the driver says, sorry, man, I'm done dashing. You're going to have to take that up with DoorDash. Now, in that moment, I couldn't figure out why. But then it hit me. It's because if he would have canceled the order, then I would have been able to rate the order. And I would have been able to say something about the driver.
Mm.
But because he never canceled the order, I can't complain about the driver. Because
there's
no record of the food having ever been delivered. So technically, he did nothing wrong. And like you said, Kristen, I can't get anybody on the phone to complain about him. So this man got to eat my Kung Pao chicken in the peace of life. And I think I'm done ordering out.
That's God's patience testing you right there.
There you go.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
We finally have some really telling details about the deaths of actor Gene Hackman and his wife Betsy. Do you remember this really weird story that happened a couple of weeks back where they both passed away, but they were in different parts of the home? And so people thought it was maybe carbon monoxide. And then it turns out that actually Betsy, Gene Hackman's wife and caretaker, had passed away before him due to something called hantavirus, which is spread through like rodent droppings. Mm-hmm. And people are like, well, that's pretty freaking weird, considering the fact that they live in a very nice home in New Mexico. This is a very successful actor. He's got millions and millions of dollars. Kind of a little suspicious here. So I think people have been following this story because it does feel very true crimey. But now investigators have actually checked out the property and did a whole health investigation and actually found out that on their property, not the actual main building, but in like garages and side buildings and casitas, there's actually there's some rodent infestations. There's obviously a lot of rodent droppings, which is very, very telling considering she obviously got this disease from a rodent. But then there's also new details that came out that shows that before she passed, she was Googling COVID symptoms. So it's likely that she thought she had the coronavirus rather than something as serious as hantavirus, which is what took her life before Gene passed away because he lost his caretaker. So real chilling news here.
And again, she was the one who passed first and then he passed second.
Yeah. So she passed first from the hantavirus in a completely separate room in the house. I think it was in the bathroom. There were pills scattered everywhere. So then people thought like, oh my gosh, was she trying to take her own life? What was happening there? The poor dog was in the dog crate, so the dog passed away too, which is why I think a lot of people thought it was carbon monoxide, but he was just stuck in the crate. And then Gene, of course, being 95 years old and suffering from Alzheimer's, was left for like a week without his caretaker, and then that's why he passed away.
Yeah, the strangest part of this story, I mean, there are a lot of layers that are strange, is, again, being in that house for over a week and having kids, and nobody called during that time at all.
I mean, it's telling about their relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't keep in touch, then you're not going to be shocked when your dad that you're estranged from isn't talking to you. But it is weird, the fact that he does have three kids and like, why don't you have a relationship? Mm. It's so sad. In more chilling death news, I'm sorry, this is my big death entertainment buzz break. We're just going to sweep it all out of the way. Liam Payne also had a really tragic death back in 2024 in October. And he had this girlfriend, this longtime girlfriend named Kate Cassidy, who just went on Jay Shetty's podcast to talk about this last encounter that she had with Liam before he passed away from falling off of that balcony.
She was there with him, and then she left, and it was shortly after she left that the accident happened, right?
Yes. And so she had told Jay Shetty that they always had a really difficult time separating. Like, they're a very lovey-dovey couple, and every time they left each other, it'd be like this big moment. And she said that actually ended up paying off, because when she left him for the final time in Argentina, they had a moment where he literally said to her, why are you acting like this is the last time you're ever going to see me?
On the last day in Argentina, my car was in the driveway and we went back into the guest house, grabbed my suitcase, and we were sitting on the couch. And I just kept going on and on and on about how much I love him and how much he means to me and how much I'm going to miss him, and that I can't wait for him to already be back in Florida. He laughed and he interrupted me and he just said, Kate, like, you're going to miss your flight. Your car's in the driveway. You're acting like this is the last time you're ever going to see me again.
Wow.
I just laughed back. I was just like, I know I'm being silly. I need to get in the car. I can't miss my flight. Just to even look back in time and just know that really was the last time I was able to see him again is just so chilling. But in a way, I think that the way that we said goodbye to each other, I'm so blessed. And this is where I get that peace from it, that it was that heartfelt, beautiful. I didn't know of it, but obviously our last goodbye, I wouldn't have wanted it to be any differently.
And I just know, like, their friends used to give them a hard time. Like, anytime they leave each other at, like, a, I don't know, freaking McDonald's, and they're like, oh, I'm never gonna see you. I miss you. And they're, you know, they're all lovey-dovey and just, you know, really sad to leave each other. But I'm like, you're gonna see each other in 2 days. You never know when the next time you're gonna see somebody is when you leave them. So I think it's a really good lesson that, unfortunately, I mean, she had to learn in the worst way possible. But I think that's something that everyone can take from after hearing her experience. Somebody else that had a very interesting experience with a friend that passed is Matthew Perry's on-screen girlfriend from Friends, Maggie Wheeler, who played Janice. She said that she actually feels like she saw Matthew Perry in the form of a hawk after he passed away.
You know, lots of people talk about spirit showing up as birds and, you know, other things that kind of send a message when someone passes. And after Matthew died, I was in a neighbor's pool, and I was alone, and there was nobody else around, and I was on my back, and I was thinking about my brother, and I said, you know, look out for him. And two hawks flew over my head and flew past me. One circled around and came and got the other one, and it flew past me. So that was a beautiful moment.
I feel like people relate a lot to their past loved ones as birds for some reason. Like, I know my mom has a special connection with red cardinals. Anytime she sees a red cardinal, she thinks that she's seeing her mom out and about. So, really sweet moment from her. All right, Fyre Festival 2 is postponed, and they have a very specific reason why there will not be a Fyre Fest 2. This is just ridiculous. It's on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Spend a second talking about how you knew it was the one. How you finally know, like, this was absolutely the one. But first, is it cold in here to you guys today?
I'm freezing, and I am never cold.
I'm sweating.
Yeah, are you really?
Hot. Yes.
It's so funny, cold. I've been cold all week. Today's the one day I'm not cold.
Yeah, I'm not cold today either.
Cold here. Okay. You got a jean jacket? Right.
I've literally been, I'm wearing a hoodie, and I want to put my hoodie up, but I feel like that looks so bougie and weird, so I haven't done it, but it's that cold.
I think Bert is doing a thing. Okay?
Oh, this is a bit.
She's actually cold. Yeah,
look at your Atlanta, okay, Hartsfield Jackson ambassador jean jacket.
That's fly.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's fly. Yeah, okay.
Bert is literally rocking a jean jacket with patches on it that has the Atlanta Hartsfield Jackson logo.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Has the 100 centennial patch, and right above the pocket on his chest, the word ambassador.
That's straight out of Top Gun right there.
I was thinking the same thing. Come on, Goose. Do you feel the need for speed, baby?
I do.
All the ambassadors got that, which is really pretty cool.
Yeah.
So one of the things I wanted to mention while I'm joking about that is, how did you guys know, Cassie, you're married, Kristen, you're married, Mo, you're in a relationship, and you're obviously head over heels. How did you know? What were the signs that this was the one?
There actually weren't signs per se, but there was a moment. Like, I remember the moment when I'm like, oh, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this man.
Ooh.
When he moved with you?
No, it wasn't that.
I guess he's coming with me. Yeah,
well, he was like, wherever you're going, I'm going, woman. I don't care if you want me to be there or not.
Yeah, so just quick recap. My husband and I met in Lexington, Kentucky. And then a month later, I got my first morning show gig in Raleigh, North Carolina. And we had just started dating. But it was going really, really well. Obviously, here we are almost 20 years later. We found ourselves very compatible. And so I left, and then 6 months later, he had a conversation with his older brother, and he's like, am I crazy for leaving everything behind and going to Raleigh to be with this woman? I really feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. And his brother's like, man, like, go for it. So he moved to Raleigh, 6 months later, moved to Raleigh to be with me. And so there we are, cohabitating together. He said he was going to find an apartment. He never did. We actually went to look for apartments for him, and he never moved into one. So we're living together, and everything is, you know, is going swimmingly. But there was this one moment So the old radio station I used to work for, the morning show, we used to do the thing called Second Chance Prom, right? And so it's where, like, anybody who missed out on their prom or whatever, you rent out a hotel and you get their ballroom and you throw a big prom party.
Because most people's proms sucked.
Yes.
So you give them a second chance at it, right?
Exactly. And so, and it's always, like, old school artists. So we had Salt and Pepper one year.
Oh, shit.
Huh?
Push it real.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man, that was a good one. I mean, Tone Loc, it was always the best time. And so we went to the Second Chance Prom. And mind you, I'm wearing my prom dress from my senior year of high school, okay? So, like, everybody's rocking, like, old school prom dresses and whatnot. And we walk across the street to go to a different hotel where we were staying, and he grabbed my hand. And he pulled me out into the garden of the hotel because he wanted to dance with me.
Aww.
Oh, wow.
And so we're sitting there and we're swaying with no music or whatever. And it was just such a blissful, like, content moment that it was literally, I remember what I was wearing. I remember the hotel. I remember the Umstead. I remember where we were in the garden. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm going to be with this man for the rest of my life.
He just knew right in that moment.
Yeah, wow. I did.
So okay. Sweet.
Yeah, I really did.
You better follow that one up well, Cassie.
I don't have a moment like that. It was a feeling, and this is going to make so many people annoyed. But honestly, it's when I realized that going to his place or wherever I was with him felt like home, and that home no longer became a house or where I lived. It was him. And so no matter where we went, as long as I came back to him, I was home. And that feeling for me, it hit pretty early on, but it was gradual because I always felt safe around him. And that was the other thing. Like, I could be my authentic self, and no matter what I shared, it would be received without judgment. And so that trust built, and then he became home. And that's how I knew.
That's why I can't get her to go to her actual home.
Because you're her home. That
makes a lot of
that's
sense.
Sweet. Yeah.
It's funny because as many times as someone's asked me this, you think I'd have a really good answer by now. But it's like, it's tough for me to answer because there was a moment, but it wasn't a sign. It was like it was just a feeling. It was immediate too. I was with my dude and I didn't want to go out, which is to me always the best part of the story. How much I did not want to go out that night because it was raining. I was tired. And I was just over it. But he literally, like, forced me to go out. He was like, we're not out here to stay in the hotel room. We're going out. Like, and he dragged me outside. And as soon as we got to the place we were going to, I saw her in the front. And the only thing I could think to compare it to is if you've ever watched a movie and you didn't really know who the star of the movie was, but the movie made it obvious as soon as you saw him. That's how it felt.
Like, she's the star of your movie.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful.
It was so obvious to me. And it was like, it was just a feeling. And I looked at my dude and I was like, that's her. And he was like, what do you mean that's her? And I was like, that's the woman I've been looking for my whole life. And he thought I was joking. And we sat down and we started talking. And I just knew, man. I just knew. And I said the corniest thing I think I've ever said in my life because when the music started getting good, I was like, so you gonna save a dance for me before we get out of here?
Stop.
Oh my God, it was corny, Abby. And she was like, I will. And then sure enough, as the night was ending, I saw her on the dance floor and she kind of gave me this look like, what are you waiting for? And we have not stopped dancing since. That was it.
Nice, man.
That was it.
Mine is kind of a combination of all of yours. Kristen said it right off the bat, compatibility. And then Cassie followed it up by saying, there is just an ease to the relationship that I'm in now. And it's the very first time, the very first relationship maybe I've ever been in of any kind where I just feel completely safe. I feel vulnerable. I can say whatever I want. And just to swing this thing back to what I was, where I was originally going, I usually compartmentalized my relationship, right? Like I had my marriage here or my dating life here and my work life was right here. And when I went to events to do something, I would rather do it alone. I didn't want to have to babysit the person that I was with. But now with Amanda, like when this airport thing happened the other day, I felt like I want my best friend to be there, man. Like, it wouldn't be the same without her there. And it's the very first time that I've really felt like now I didn't feel I was responsible for another person. I felt like I wanted my best friend there.
I don't think you can have a higher seal of like approval than calling your partner your best friend, but in a way where you're not responsible for them, where you truly want to share your life with them every moment.
All really, really interesting though. But I think the compatibility, man, for me right off the bat, that's where it's got to be. That's where it starts.
Oh, God, you guys are two little peas in a pod.
We are stumbling our way through life together, for sure.
It's a little scary, but it's real cute.
The Burt Show.
Yeah, we need you guys to stay on top of us. We need you guys to email us and go, hey, what storyline? Whatever happened with that whole thing? So we reserve those for Thursday. We call them follow-up Thursdays, where we take a look at your emails and you remind us of storylines we just haven't closed. So today is Thursday.
So Jamie was concerned her boyfriend might be cheating during spring break, and Jamie and her boyfriend have been dating since August at LSU, but he was distant lately. So she couldn't afford spring break with her boyfriend, but he went to Galveston with his friends. Guys and girls. Jamie was concerned after overhearing some girls on a trip saying they found her boyfriend attractive. During the trip, he barely reached out, making her suspicious. So we helped her out with spring break sting. We tested her boyfriend by calling his hotel room. A woman answered the phone, and we pretended to be the concierge confirming a romantic excursion. The woman was excited about it, confirming Jamie's fears that her boyfriend was cheating. And Jamie takes the news surprisingly calm and says that she has, quote unquote, stuff to sort out. So what did she do after she found all this out?
Here's the update. Hi, everybody. I'll keep it short and sweet. Obviously, I am single. I texted him that day to tell him we were over. And to be honest, the worst part was that he didn't even care. He didn't call me or fight me on it or even say he was sorry. He literally just responded, okay, and sent me some random message about hoping I'm able to find my person.
Really quick, is that not the worst? When you break up with somebody, even though you don't want to break up with them, you just want to see how much they're willing to fight for you, and then they don't fight for you, and your worst suspicions are confirmed.
Wait, 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 wait. This is a thing?
It was for me.
What?
It was a test to see if he would fight for a relationship, and he didn't. Like, I didn't want to break up, but I pretended like I wanted to break up to see if he would fight for me.
This is a common thing?
Yeah. I did this at a frat party once.
Thank you!
I was hanging out with this guy. I thought he was so hot for some reason. Thank God he's not now. He totally glowed down. But back in the day, this man was hot, and he was paying attention to me, and we had this, like, enemies to lovers thing going on. And so I was throwing some kind of, like, not tantrum, but I was, like, you know, trying to rile him up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go to Sigma Alpha doo-doo or whatever. And so I walk out, and I turn around, and I'm like, he's not following me. Exactly. And so then I went to Instagram DM. I was like, why aren't you following me?
Well, that's different than being in a relationship with somebody and faux breaking up with them just to see what their reaction was going to be, you psycho.
Yeah. the root of it is the same. Like, the root of it is the same.
The root for sure. Yeah, no, it was my dating antichrist. And I was like, I was feeling a little unappreciated. Didn't feel like I was really a top priority. So I'm like, let's see how much of a priority I am. So I kind of like, you know, again, I had no intention of breaking up. I did not want to break up. And I'm like, I want to see how much this mofo fights for me.
Oh my God. He started running thinking he was going to chase you. He's just looking at you.
Yeah. All
right. Run away.
Like, don't let the door hit you.
Oh, and guess what? My self-esteem was so good. I stayed.
Of course.
He literally just responded, okay, and sent me some random message about hoping I'm able to find my person. I was so upset. I don't know what hurts worse, that he cheated or that he didn't even care about getting caught. I almost drove to Galveston to kick his ass, but there's a reason I didn't go up myself in the first place, and that is because I am unfortunately a broke college student. But I racked my brain for revenge because I was not going to let him just get away with this and spend the rest of his spring break having the best time with some tramp. And honestly, I'm very proud of what I came up with. So he's used my laptop before to finish assignments and send things in before deadlines. All that info is auto-filled on my computer. So I was able to log into his student email. I found an important looking email from one of his professors about a poor grade, and I went ahead and replied to it with a very steamy ChatGPT story where my ex tries to seduce the professor in the classroom in order to get a better score. I was laughing so hard I cried, refreshing the page over and over again to get a reply. The professor emailed back later that night with just the message, "Let's discuss this in person once your break ends." I logged out and I haven't spoken to him since. I hope he was as embarrassed as I was for dating him in the first place. Thanks again, Jamie.
I kind of like this one.
Yeah. It was fun.
It's fairly hard. Let me get up out of there.
Yeah, right.
The Burt Show.
All right, so Coachella weekend number 2 is this weekend, right?
Yeah, y'all ready for Coachella?
Oh my God.
Coachella.
Yes. I can't wait to get my fit.
I usually go online and I look at these festivals and I'm like, oh my God, I really want to do that before I die. And this one, I'm like, no way.
Absolutely not.
It's in the desert, right? So it's dusty the entire time. And then it just seems like it's more like an influencer convention than anything else.
It's really just for you to take a photo in front of that Ferris wheel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is Burning Man in the same location or is that a different place out in California?
I don't know.
That's in a different place.
Yeah.
All I know, I think I told you guys last week that the statistics were coming out for these festivals now and the ticket sales on them across the board are going down in each and every one. People just don't want to be out there when you don't know what the conditions are going to be like. If it starts raining, the organizers don't have a place for you to run or hide.
It's expensive.
You're spending all this money on it. So people are watching it live stream now.
Mm-hmm. You could pay like $25,000 for a glamping tent, which I've been watching a lot on TikTok.
Wow.
Do we have time to play a game?
Yeah, but it's going to have to be a quick one.
Okay, here we go. It's time to play Coachella versus Fochella. There are 144 artists playing at the festival, and a lot of them sound extremely fake.
How many?
144.
Yeah, I've been to EDM festivals before, and I don't know if this is the same one, but a lot of times you have bands playing at the same time. So you're walking from one end to the other, and the music kind of overlaps, but there's a bunch of stages happening at the same time.
It's like Music Midtown.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to give you guys three band names. One of them is actually headlining at Coachella, and the other two I made up with two just like whimsical words that I put together.
Headlining or performing?
Okay, they're performing.
Okay, thank you. Those are two very different things.
They are on the poster.
Got it.
And if you want a hint, I have fun facts for each of the band names.
Okay.
So you guys tell me, which of these bands is real? Japanese Breakfast, Argan Oil Enthusiasts, or Mashed Potato Salad Boys?
I really want Argan Oil Enthusiasts to be real for some reason. Say it again one more time.
Japanese Breakfast, Argan Oil Enthusiasts, or Mashed Potato Salad Boys?
I'm going with Japanese Breakfast.
I'm going with Japanese Breakfast too.
That one feels the most real.
I'm going with the Oregon thing.
It's not Oregon. It's Argan.
Oil Oregon sounds real.
Japanese
Maybe it
breakfast
sounds like something else.
Japanese is real.
All right. Pretend me,
baby, I wanna believe in you. I wanna believe. That's not bad.
All right.
Good.
All right. Who will you see performing in the desert? Mullet time?
Mullet?
Mullet time. Blonde redhead or the angriest children?
The angriest children.
Blonde redhead.
Blonde redhead.
Blonde redhead.
Blonde redhead is real.
Man, you guys are good at this.
Sorry, I'm just going to sing over.
Okay, that was a Rebecca. That was not it. That was Greenhead over there.
You're doing them dirty, man.
You did them so dirty. That's not fair, Rebecca. You can't do that.
You're right. Okay, here's the last one. Who is the quote-unquote headliner? Pee-pee-poo-poo, Be-a-ba-doobie, or Shimmy-shimmy, Mama Want Milky?
One of those is real.
One of those is real.
Wow.
All right, one more time.
Pee-pee-poo-poo.
Pee-pee-poo-poo.
Be-a-ba-doobie. Or Shimmy-shimmy, Mama Want Milky. One of them is very popular.
It's obviously Be-a-ba-doobie.
Whatever the second one was.
I'm going pee-pee-poo-poo.
She opened for Taylor Swift. It's Be-ba-doobie.
It's Be-ba-doobie.
Hey.
Actually sounds pretty good.
Beautiful.
Especially when Rebecca doesn't sing it.
Yeah.
It's really good.
The Burt Show.
Really wanted to circle back to this today. We played a clip of this for you guys yesterday. Excuse me. And it got so much response on Facebook that I wanted to read some of the comments. But I also wanted to get a professional in the industry to give us her opinion also. And I've known Elle Duncan from ESPN for like 20 years. And she's going to come on in a couple of seconds. She's like the nicest. She's the best. So if you don't know what this story is all about, there's an announcer for the Braves, Wiley Ballard. And he's like the dude that goes out into the crowd and he talks to Braves fans at different games, right? So they were in Toronto a couple of nights ago. And he's up on the rooftop. I guess they have a bar up there. And he's in between two Braves fans in Toronto. And he's talking to them where the conversation gets weird with, I think, mostly the color guy and the play-by-play guy sort of...
They were egging it on.
Egging him Definitely. On to get the phone number of one of the girls, right? I think they might have misinterpreted a comment that he made, and it sparked a lot of backlash online. People saying, this was so unprofessional. How could he during a broadcast? If a woman did this, she'd be out of a job. So let me play the whole clip for you guys, and then we'll get Elle on to talk about it.
Wiley, how are things up there at the Corona rooftop?
Things are pretty great, Brandon. We're having a lot of fun up here at the Corona rooftop. Who do we got here? What's your name?
My name's Lauren.
Lawrence, all right.
And I'm Kayla.
Kayla, and you guys hang out at the rooftop lounge often?
Once a year I come out to visit.
Okay, well, we timed it pretty well. All right, good. How are you guys feeling about rooting for the Braves today?
Oof, I don't know. I'm hoping for the best.
What about you? Are you a Braves fan now?
Not quite.
All right, I'm gonna go to work up here, guys. Good luck the rest of the way.
Okay, Wiley. You got four innings to get the numbers.
Come on.
Get us some more Braves fans.
All right, so they want me to get your number.
They want you to get my
number. I'm dead serious. They're saying in my ear right now, she didn't believe me because she thinks you guys are not I'm making this up. Even if you guys weren't, I might use that in the future. That's actually a pretty good move.
This is unbelievable.
So the best part of this right now is that Wiley could totally be faking it. This might be the new move. Okay. Just walk around with a FanDuel microphone and an earpiece in and convince fans that they're actually on TV.
I should have thought of this years ago.
I am speechless.
I got the number. We're good.
I am without speech.
First so time.
I'm a little nervous.
Broadcast history.
All right, so that second time listening to it, uh-huh. And now I get it.
Yeah, it's the longer clip that makes it a little bit more awkward, right? And just to give you the visual also, when they pan back to him, she does have his phone in her hands, and she is giving him her phone number.
But it was miscommunication, because the color and play-by-play guy said, you got to get the numbers, meaning get more Braves fans.
Right.
Like, get more numbers for the fan base. But he took it as, oh, he heard it in his ear, oh, I got to get her number. And then that's where it just kind of evolved into what it did.
So I think that there wasn't much of a controversy until
when... And they're in Canada. Of course she's going to give him his number. They're like the nicest people ever.
Right. There wasn't much of a controversy about it until women in sports casting started to comment on it. And then it got into this big back and forth about people need to relax. And let me just give you a couple of examples. Simone Scott, she says, as a female sports reporter, we're already looked down upon when we enter a room because people make assumptions to how we get our jobs. It's great that people think this is funny and no big deal, but we're held to a different standard that for some reason people don't want to acknowledge. We get crucified if we laugh too hard at a joke. It's a boys' club, and we know that going into the job. It's just frustrating that people are pretending that this is not the case. And then there was Chelsea Jones, who's also in the industry, or maybe Chelsea Janes. It says, imagine if a female reporter did anything like this. Career over. Pretty brutal to see it glorified by the broadcast. And then there was the Nashville Predators reporter, Emma Lingen. She says, if this were a female reporter asking for a man's number, it would be unprofessional. But if a man does it, it's funny and acceptable to take multiple victory laps. And in doing so, misogyny is alive and well, folks. And it was one reporter after the other coming on saying, you guys don't get it. It might have been really cute for you, but for us in the industry, it's a totally completely different deal. So I've known Elle Duncan from ESPN for about 20 years. In fact, I tried to hire her in the Burt Show, mm-hmm. And she didn't want that job so much she ran across the country.
She's like, Connecticut, welcome me with open arms.
Hey Elle.
Hey, Bert.
How are you?
Yeah, I was like, get me out of Atlanta and move me on up to Connecticut.
That's right. God, imagine how crappy your life would be if you actually took this job.
No, not at all, man. Thanks for having me.
I get so giddy still seeing you on ESPN. I'm like, that's my girl.
Oh, no, we go way back, man. We really do.
Yeah, we do. So tell me what you think about this whole story. Is it much ado about nothing? I think from the outside looking in, people are like, oh, come on. This guy was just having fun. It's a great part of the broadcast. And then there were women within the industry saying, hold on a second. Before you think this is cute, it's just not the same for us as it is for guys. Do you agree with that?
I think that two things can be true at once. I think that whenever, you know, I am a woman in this industry, I understand there are double standards. But I think any time there's an opportunity for women to remind people that misogyny still exists, as if we didn't, you know that already, there's a bit of a pile-on effect. Like, the truth is, yes, like, if a woman was to do that, it would be incredibly unprofessional, and she'd probably have had to have, you know, leveled an apology by now. But it can also be true that, like, this just seemed like I'm watching this clip, because at first, guys, when I saw, like, just the headline on Twitter, and it was like, creepy Braves reporter asked for a girl's number, I was like, wait, what? And then I clicked on it, and I was like, oh, this dude got wrapped up in that regional sports network bit where it just, like, it starts to snowball and you can't get out of it. Mm. And you know, I in general think that, like, we can talk about the difficulties of being a woman in sports without necessarily the outrage factor. Like, this was cringy. Like, I'm with Kristen. Like, just because they were in Canada is the only reason that girl gave him her number. Like, she looked very uncomfortable. I think that part was the most uncomfortable part for me, is sort of like putting not Wiley in that situation, because his colleagues, I didn't really think of the perspective of, like, he heard it wrong. Mm-hmm. At first I was like, oh, he's getting egged on by his colleagues. Like, they're the ones. But you're right. Once I listened to it again, I was like, oh, he was saying we got to get the numbers of Braves fans mm-hmm. up, because they were saying they weren't Braves fans. He interpreted that differently and started asking for the phone number. But yeah, I mean, like, apart from it just being, like, sort of a cringy bit on an RSN, I'm not on team, like, outraged. I'm not. I sort of get live television. I think it is a lesson to other journalists, though, that, like, he wanted to sort of go along with what he thought he heard. He wanted to go along with his colleagues. I don't know the power dynamics. Color and play-by-play on an RSN broadcast usually are, like, the big dogs. I don't know if Wiley felt pressured to sort of keep going within that, but it's not like he woke up that morning and decided he was going to hit on a fan in the stands. Right. So, you know, I in general don't tend to get outraged about things like this, because it feels like there are bigger things to be outraged by.
I do think it needs to be pointed out that, and I want to reiterate what you said, that two things can be true at the same time, because, like, instead of coming after these commentators and coming after Wiley, we can just use this as an example of how misogyny exists in the sportscaster world. And, like, hey, like, it would just be nice if Wiley can do it. It would just be nice if a woman could do this too and not get raked over the coals for it.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, is that at least Mo and I were saying yesterday that if a woman did this during a broadcast, we wouldn't think twice about it. But mm-mm. behind closed doors, I think this is what I'm looking for here, Elle. Behind closed doors, would she get chewed out for that where a dude would not?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, 100%. She would, like, a woman in that role would absolutely be talked to, and she would probably be talked to by her female colleagues, who would say, you know, you're setting us back by doing things like this. Because, you know, the responsibility of women reporters, of women in this space, is that you feel like the burden of everything that you do and how you conduct yourself and your level of professionalism can potentially impact other people. It's why whenever you hear that a sideline reporter, even though it might be, you know, one in a million, whenever you find out that they've been sleeping with someone on the team, we all collectively go, oh God, here we go, because this is going to be an indictment on the rest of us, right? And it's not necessarily fair. It is not fair. Everybody has and makes their own decisions. People get into this job for a bevy of reasons. And it's not, you know, fair to judge one by everybody, but that's essentially what we're fighting against. You know, you hear a story about a woman potentially sleeping with a boss to get a job, and all of a sudden we all collectively hold our breath, because we know that for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be accused of doing the exact same thing every time we post on social media. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's that sort of collective, like, I think, like, collective, issue that is why so many women are responding right now. I would tell them, like, take a deep breath, because again, we already know that all of this exists, but I do think it's an opportunity to talk about, you know, some of the issues that we face. I also think that this falls on deaf ears. Like, mm-hmm. it's not exactly like we haven't expressed multiple times the difficulties and double standards that comes with being a female reporter. I mean, I know even when I was working for the Hawks back in the day, I found it very difficult to do my job, because part of that job is access, right? And getting inside information. And I felt uncomfortable trying to get phone numbers of these players, which is how you get access and inside information, for fear that it would look like
like I was trying to date all the players, mm-hmm. right? So it's something that men don't have to navigate, and certainly mm-hmm. we already know that.
Oh, sure. I so value your perspective right now, Elle, because I think so many people, unless they know, they're going to think something. They don't have this perspective, and that's why Bert, when we were talking about this yesterday, was asking myself and Abby and Cassie, like, you know, would we have felt like, you know, would management have come after us? But I'm like, radio is a very different animal yes. than TV. TV is a lot more buttoned up, and especially in the sports world, because it's a male-dominated industry. And I'm like, all I can do is read these comments and be like, I'm gonna take these women's word for it. These women who are in this arena, who are doing sports casting and sports TV, they're gonna know how they're being treated. And so if they're saying this would have been handled differently, I'm gonna take their word for it.
Yeah, I mean, this is absolutely like, this is just women sort of coming to a catharsis, and it's like group therapy where it's just like, let me tell you my, yeah. right? Like, let me yeah. tell you my journey. And so there's a bit of a pile on because it's also on Twitter. And then I think Wiley went on Twitter and, like, you know, posted the, how you like them apples, you know, for getting the phone number. So people don't like that he's not apologetic. And listen, I don't think that this has reached the level of like he needs to get fired or anything yeah. like that. I just do think that it is a conversation about like all of those things being true, that there's a double standard, that it was definitely cringy. I mean, it was just cringy to watch. Mm-hmm. Like the whole, it was just such an RSN bit, you know. Wiley's on the sounds, look him found. Nightmares to my time back in RSN. But I also like, also, guys, can we be honest here? This is the Braves' fault. This is the Braves' fault for sucking. If you're good, and you're winning, and the product on the field is great, then they don't have to go into the stands.
Fair point. She's right. So fair point.
She's right, man. She might be big time now at ESPN, but I do know this. She still has a 404 phone number.
I sure do. Yeah. I'm never letting that guy go. Don't you guys have some random like area codes now, Bert?
I'm an inside the perimeter guy anyway, so I don't even pay attention to the other ones.
Exactly.
Speaking of representing women, this is completely off topic, but I always said if I ever got the chance to talk to you, I would personally thank you for giving Stephen A. the business the way that you do every morning.
Yeah.
Listen, you stand on business, and I'm here for it. I love it. It's inspiring. Please keep doing it.
Yeah, let me ask you about that, because Mo brings up a really good point, and I know you got to go take care of your kids here in a second. So when you are in that arena, and Stephen A. Smith is sort of the face of ESPN, but he's, if you don't watch sports, he's loud, he's opinionated, he's sort of at the top of his game at ESPN right now. So as a woman, for you to challenge him, was there any backlash for you during that whole thing? I mean, that took a lot of courage.
Yeah, no, you know what's funny is that, like, people, they're always like, yeah, you keep giving it to him, and, like, I bet he doesn't like it. The thing to know about Stephen A. is that Stephen A. is an entertainer above all else, and he's one of the best that there is. You mm-hmm. think that Stephen A. thinks it's good television for everybody to just sit there and agree with him? Like, of course he doesn't. He loves when there's dissent. Like, he loves when we're going back and forth at each other. I think it really does speak to the issue of, like, people only say that because I am a woman, right? Mm. And they're like shocked that a woman could be audacious enough to you know, clap back or offer her opinion. But the reason I feel so comfortable doing that is because I'm incredibly well researched. Like, I think about my opinion. I think about what his counter could be. I think about what, you know, what the other people on the desk could potentially say. Like, it's chess. And I'm always going to express it. I never am inflammatory just for the sake of being inflammatory. But no, it always shocks me when people are like, man, thank you for what you're doing. I'm like, what am I doing? They're like, like disagreeing with Stephen A. I'm like, what else am I supposed to do? Like, if I agree with Stephen A, I will agree with Stephen A. But if I disagree with him, then that's, you know, essentially what I'm going to do. But I do hope that, you know, not courage. I mean, certainly it doesn't take any courage or bravery to give your opinion on a sports show. But I do hope that it, like, inspires women to speak out and use their voice, you know? Like, honestly, when you talk about those double standards, one of the reasons a lot of women feel very hesitant to give their opinion is because they're going to undoubtedly be hit with the, what would you know? You didn't play. Mm-hmm. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. And I'm like, most of these, just because you played peewee football when you were 12 years old doesn't mean that you're more acclimated to talk about sports than me.
Thanks.
And so, you know, I appreciate that love. And honestly, most of the time I get it from men. So I appreciate that. Like, the idea that I'm clapping back at Stephen A. But there is never any backlash. Like, he absolutely loves and wants there to be dissent and disagreement because he's an entertainer above all else.
Oh, Elle, thank you for your time, man.
Thanks, guys.
I'm so happy for you. Seriously, every time I'm watching, I don't know what your official shift is. It just feels like every time I'm watching ESPN, you're on. And I always, and I'm always smiling like, I remember back in the day when she was in Atlanta. That's Elle!
Yeah, you. I think you took me out to dinner at, what was it called, Coast? Yeah, I always think of that you when I think about that place, Bert. So thanks for thinking of me. I love you guys. You're the best.
All right, Elle. Take care. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Bye, y'all.
See you now. Yeah, I was trying to hire her here. It was before you guys were here.
I was here.
Were you here?
Mm-hmm.
Was I trying to replace you?
Probably. And obviously, she made the right choice.
The Bert Show.